The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Sky Broadband. Get the power to do more with Sky's best ever Wi-Fi.
Now, yesterday we were talking about the protests in Dublin on Saturday, and everyone I met in the last 48 hours is talking about it all the time. Fascinating. A lot of people felt frustrated by what they saw and how it made you feel about the people in your community, the people who actually showed up at the thing. And you wanted to know what brought them there. And the truth is, people went for lots of different reasons. Some of the reasons are out there. Some of the reasons are completely understandable as it happens. So it takes all sorts of people to do all sorts of things, obviously. So why do people sometimes, and some of these people did, simply park their credulity at the door when they, you know, log on and head down rabbit holes? I think a lot of people listening know somebody and have lost somebody to the rabbit hole of the internet. Somebody that they love, still do. Somebody that they trust, a bit shaky ground nowadays. And somebody they might be worried about. And the person who's gone down the rabbit hole oftentimes will say, "You're the problem, not me. So what's happening here?" It's an intriguing conundrum. Stephen Murphy has been looking at the spread of conspiracy theories about the place. And he joins us now. Good morning, Stephen. Nice to talk to you.
Good morning, Ryan. Lovely to be on. Thanks a lot for having me.
Thanks for being here. You're a marketing professor, originally from Waterford, I believe.
That's right, yeah.
And you're an assistant professor of marketing in Trinity. So what I want to do is, that just puts the credentials on the table, if you like. Why are we losing a lot of people to the rabbit hole of online conspiracy theories? What's happening? Is there a broad answer to this?
I think there's probably lots of different answers to it. We probably have to tune in to the time and the place, you know, and recognize the factors that are making it making people turn to conspiracies more and more. I think the pandemic has obviously created a kind of fertile ground, I suppose, for the spread of conspiracy theories. Mm. You know, people have found themselves in situations that are hard to believe. If you think about the economy basically shutting down, unemployment rates, I suppose, are obviously soaring. And also, we're not able to leave our home. You know, well, at least we're not supposed to go more than 5K outside of our homes. So we've lost a lot of the kind of personal freedoms that we took for granted, I think. And, you know, if you would have said maybe a year and a half ago that this would be the situation we'd find ourselves in, you would have probably said, that sounds like a conspiracy theory. So I think this has kind of created a perfect storm, really. And what we see is that people are kind of feeling financial pressure, they're feeling really isolated, they're cut off from people, and during this time then, they're turning more and more to social media, you know, so we're filling the time really on social media. Mm. And that is created a perfect condition really for the spread of conspiracy theories.
They go to the social media. And what do they find there? What is the attraction to get them away from the darkness that is the reality, economic, mental health, emotional, what have you?
Yeah, so I think what we've seen in our research is that a lot of people are going to social media trying to find answers to explain the situations that they find themselves in. You know, so whether you've lost a job or, you know, you're under pressure for keeping up with your mortgage or whatever those kind of real life pressures are, well, people find themselves with more time. They go onto social media and they go looking for answers. And these kind of conspiracy explanations are only a click away, really. When you join particular groups and, you know, as you said earlier, going down the rabbit hole. So it really gives people access to a whole kind of range of information that wasn't accessible, I think, probably before social media.
But the difficulty is that you've got good people finding insane non-formation, let's call it that, where they're saying, all right, so you know, and I mentioned the most stupid thing of them all, which is that, you know, they're injecting baby blood into RTE presenters to make them look younger. I mean, I was laughing over the weekend about that, saying, oh, yeah, I remember talking to Eamon Devlin Lehrer about this when I was a kid in school. And then I stopped being, you know, facetious about it and went, But people actually kind of believe that the government is a bunch of paedophiles. Yeah. This is it goes from comical to sinister to it's fine if it's 1% of crazy horses, but when that becomes a bigger percentage of good people turning peculiar, now we've got to kind of notice. And then you don't want to notice too much because then you're feeding the beast. It's a tricky one.
Yeah, I think it is a really tricky one. I think, you know, those types of, like the ones you mentioned, I heard about the RTE presenters being injected and all of that. And I think they are very much at the extreme end of conspiracy theories. But I think what we've got to try to resist doing is to kind of take, you know, quotes around those kind of things and let them represent the whole phenomenon and what's happening. Because you'll find, I think, across the spectrum, there's much more reasonable explanations to what's going on than those kind of ones, you know, but still within the kind of conspiratorial space, if you like.
In other words, that if you look at the protests in Dublin on Saturday, and there are loads more planned, I have no doubt that there were a bunch of people at that protest who are fed up, who think that this thing has gone on too long and their business is screwed and they're really upset and they don't believe that there's a basement in a pizzeria, you know, filled with Hillary Clinton and other paedophiles. They actually are just angry. But do they get mixed up then with the crazier element who are saying about the injections and about the government and so on? Is that what's happening? Is this a kind of a weird, heady mix of righteously angry people and just other people who are just believing complete balderdash?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's probably a good way of thinking about it. Like, to explain the events that happened at the weekend just in terms of the kind of the more extreme stuff, I think would be to overlook the situation that maybe a lot of people who turned up at that protest are actually experiencing.
Yeah, good people who are just angry.
Yeah, and my research has been in the UK, so you know I can't stretch too much into the.
Yeah, well, give us a sense of what you've learned. Yeah, please.
Yeah, but you know, from speaking to people who've kind of fallen into conspiracies, you can certainly see that there's always a sense of kind of disenfranchisement, or they feel excluded, or they feel not heard, or they've lost trust in the kind of in the system or in authority, and maybe even sometimes in kind of experts in general. So I think all of those things kind of come together, and that's what motivates people to start looking for alternative explanations. And I would think that if you spoke to people who were at that march on Saturday, that you would hear a lot of those same kind of things about not feeling heard and feeling overlooked by society. And basically, they want a platform. They want to be heard.
Is for some of them, and for some of the people who get involved in the crazy kind of QAnon side of MAD, is there a sense of finding a tribe, to use that oft-used expression, that they have found a home or at least a status?
Definitely. You know, if you think about maybe conspiratorial beliefs, you know, if you were to try to maybe, you know, share those when you're down in the pub with friends or, you know, with family at the dinner table.
Yeah, I'd be disowned.
Yeah, exactly. You're likely to experience some kind of pushback. You know, people will put you back in your place.
Push off the cliff. Go on.
Yeah, exactly. But on social media, when you join these groups, you know, you're meeting with like-minded people.
Yes.
And so there's a sense of status to be gained by sharing conspiratorial beliefs, and also the ones then who kind of, I guess, develop a reputation and a sense of status within the community are the ones who go further down the rabbit hole.
And then you become the shaman in Capitol Hill on a...
Exactly. Okay. You know, you're the one who can deal with the information that's kind of too hot for other people to handle.
Wow.
There's a sense of status there, yeah.
Yeah. Stephen, I we'll talk again because this conspiracy theory thing is, I mean, I thought it was just in America in my ignorance. I thought, that look at them. And now I'm looking at my news at 6 o'clock on a Saturday night going, oh, it's landed. So it's intriguing. Thank you for your time, Stephen. Very nice to talk to you.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it.
Likewise, Stephen Murphy joining us on the phone there to talk about that. And as somebody says, please do more about this topic. It started before the pandemic. It's really serious and I've lost a friend to this. That's what I was saying at the very beginning of that chat. I think everyone, well, not everyone, a lot of people listening will have lost somebody. Not just, by the way, to crazy conspiracy, crazy stuff, but to Twitter and to too much time online. And it's not about, and when I say that, I'm not trying to say, look at them. I'm saying we need to fix it. It's not, I'm not trying to say that they're all bad. They're not. It's far from it. Just it needs to be looked at and dealt with. And that's why we did that today.